Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
You know, like I said, Jerome hit on it last week. There are other factors to lust being one of those things. That's the part we don't never want to talk about. We always talk about the good. We never talk about the bad. And I thank Jerome for bringing that up last week because we do need to talk about the bad. Lust is something that has, lack of better words, ruined this world in this country right now because of deceitfulness in the want of riches and you forget about the word of the Lord. I tried to really delve into this word lust, and maybe somebody can dig in and dive in with some of their own beliefs in the word lust. Almost a necessary evil. And what I mean by that, lust is a necessary evil because without it, you'll never understand nor appreciate love when you have it.
Right.
Sad thing, but like I said, it's a necessary evil. Anybody got anything they want to add to that?
Let me say this. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you see me?
Yeah, we see you now.
Okay. Think about this here. We as men, I mentioned this to my wife a few weeks ago. We tend to look at a woman and see her anatomy, and we fall for the stankiest part of the woman. And we holler and hoop about the stankiest part that waste come out of. And not thinking that, even though we lust enough, not thinking that that's an exit for the waste in the body. And no, we don't just eat waste, but we lust after it. I'm part of the body. And I ain't talking about all that crazy stuff. I'm just talking about she can have just the prettiest round, but it still stank. Still stank. And waste still gonna come out of it. And that's just how the enemy tricks us to lust after things that are for us naturally, that the Lord has given us, but not to lust at something that don't belong to you. I mean, if it's yours, your wife, then you can look at it all day long, all night long. But when you're in the store, or you wherever, and a young lady walk by, and she has a nice figure, we think something different. Because it's still the same place where waste gonna come out of. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care what kind of shape it is. Waste still gonna come out of. And we still lust after. It's like what the Bible said, the dog returns to his vomit. We go after things with our mind and our eyes, and we seek things that wasn't naturally intended to be that way. And that helps destroy the word when we don't train our thoughts to concentrate on the word instead of the lust of the body, because that's the majority, and lust of other things too, but the majority is the female body. And that takes us to hell quicker than anything. Right. If we don't repent. Look at David. He saw Bathsheba on the top of the house and lost his mind. He had a man killed on the front line for his wife. It'll make you do all kind of things. We can think about female rappers and Hollywood and all that, and what they shake every day, and that's all they selling. They're not really selling per se, but that's what they shake what their mama gave. That's what the song said, shake what your mama gave. And we lose our mind behind that, especially the unsaved. See, we as brothers, we trying to retrain our mind to think the right way. But for those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have no idea that what they're looking at and lusting at, it can lead them to hell. They don't even have an idea of that. They think it's something good. Shake what your mama gave. Use what you got. That's just they saying. I'm a hush.
You know that there's more parts to lust. It ain't always about like what he's speaking of with the female anatomy. It's a lust for a job, a lust for certain positions or status quo. There's different versions of lust, and we as men trying to walk right have to be able to identify that. Then the next 15, verse 19, seed of evil passion. So out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Now, you know, that's a pretty strong, bold, very bold scripture there. Because it's speaking about the heart of some of the people that have evil thoughts. People that have thoughts of murdering. Being out here committing adultery on their wives. People fornicating. Got thefts taking place. False witness and blasphemy. We don't have to go into it, but you see it every day. You see it all the time. It's happening all the time around us. Some of us turn a blind eye to it. Some of us look and say, but it's happening. You can't even cut on your TV without hearing about somebody dying or hearing about theft or false or things that's happening in this world. And that's a part of your heart, that seed of evil passion. You have to purge your heart and not allow it to succumb to the evil thoughts. You know how hard that is on a daily basis, living in today's world?
I'm not going to say it gets easier, but you can get there.
Exactly. And this thing, in the route this world is going, it's not getting easier by the day, that's for sure. Anybody got anything?
Had earlier, Rick, in Mark 4, where it talks, 19, when it talks about, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of the other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. That's one of the things that can happen in our lives when we take our eyes from where they need to be. When we start going after things that are not meant for us, when we start lusting after things that are not meant for us, we take our eyes off where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And see, now those things start to choke out the word that is spoken in your heart. Because now you're not looking for Jesus. Now you're not looking for the gospel. Now you're not looking for his word. You're looking for the desires of your heart. Your evil desires. Mm-hmm. What you want to lust after. Man, I'm tongue tied tonight. You mentioned that earlier, Rick, when you said that it's not a lot of times just about women or whatever. Those can be the desires that lead us away because we have taken our eyes off of Jesus. We have taken our eyes on the very thing that saved our lives. And we chose to go towards a path that could lead us away. And that's what, when you say it's a necessary evil, but a lot of times that evil is what we focus in on. That's all we see. We are so deceived by that.
Mm-hmm.
And that what leads us away when we follow that deception.
Right.
That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God and We have to walk that way. Love, I want to say this about love. When you speak of adultery and fornication and treating your neighbor bad, it's just doing all the ungodly things. Love cancels out all that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says something like, love covers a multitude of sins. But there's another one that says love covers all sins. And see, we have to get to the point where we control how we love other folks. If we're going to love people as God given us the love, the agape love, then you won't sleep with my wife. I can trust my brother with my wife. I can trust my neighbor can trust me with his wife. See, we have to build that up, being godly men, and not allow the enemy to control how we think and let the world see God through us. Because the closer we get to God, the more he's going to tempt you. And he tempts you. Don't be none of us naive to think that he's going to tempt us with something we don't like. He tempted us with the things that he know he used to supply us with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he knows what we like. He's very, he used to give it to him or put it in our way. So he's very familiar with each and every one of us. And he has his path set for us. But that's why we have to have the whole armor of God. And when it comes to love, like I said, you got to love like Jesus loved and nobody else. That's why I call him the greatest lover. I used to think that I was it till I met Jesus. And he showed me what real love was. And I'm telling you, it conquers all. It conquers hate. It conquers everything that we can even imagine. That's why he didn't come down off that cross. Because what we're talking about tonight, love covers all that too. It covers that too. And I'm telling you, it makes you love your wife better. Love your children better. Your neighbors, your friends. It just makes this walk. Like Prentice, you're trying to get that touch on them. It makes this walk worthy of walking with the Lord when you have that love that he has in your heart. I remember the question from last week, but I'm not gonna repeat it, but we gotta have the love of God in us. That's the only way we're gonna make it. Because this world is not gonna get better. If it was, then he wouldn't have to come back. So we just have to increase more and more into what the Bible said. Study to show ourselves approved. And we just got to keep going, getting closer and closer to the Lord until he returns. Because it's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm a horse now.
I want to jump in here. Too often we talk about lust, and the next word is always adultery and things of the flesh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you guys who've been here, like, rolling with us for a minute, my whole everything is purpose driven. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times when you say lust, and for the people who are listening, and they might just be at the beginning stages of their journey in this walk, when you start seeking for your purpose, and then you realize that this is a spiritual warfare, as I start to unravel my purpose and get closer to my purpose, then lust become more prominent because I'm getting close to what God really has for me. With my purpose come peace. And the one thing Satan does not want, he does not want me at peace. And so when we say lust, and then we always go to adultery, it almost put the mindset that that's all lust is. And it's great. It's much broader than that. Mm-hmm. When you tie your purpose, like, if I'm close to my purpose and then the enemy hears me and sees me in the break room, he's hearing a couple of guys talking about promotion, the things of the flesh rise up in all kinds of areas, not just adultery.
Oh yeah.
Because when we shoot that out there, then it's guys that hear that, hey man, as long as I don't cheat on my wife, then I'm good. And that's so not the case, because if he turns toward that promotion and make that promotion the center of his thought process, he's not coming home early. He's not taking the kids to the park. He's not doing things that we're supposed to be doing also. So I just want to make sure that we break lust down into different categories, because it's more than just fornication and infidelity and adultery. I just want to put that in there.
Exactly. Anybody else? So we done discussed lust and the different facets of lust, and we discussed the seat of evil passion. The next verse I found, Matthew 12, 35, treasure of the heart.
Okay, gotcha.
A good man out of good, treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. I guess the million-dollar question is, what would change a man's evil thoughts and his evil beliefs to make him think that good thoughts, good beliefs?
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard the pastor talk about David. And so the thing that really hit me, I'm just talking about myself and dealing with lust and dealing with my flesh and everything. I had to get to the point because I was in a bad way in a relationship that God did not ordain for me. So in other words, it was pure lust. And it took time for me to truly understand that. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about David, because David said at one point, David had to really realize that he couldn't do this thing on his own. That's why David said, and all of us have heard this before, creating me a clean heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every day now, because of what I went through, I asked God to create in me a clean heart, to give me a mind that stayed on thee. Because the mind can really deceive you, because and what somebody was talking about, see, the adversary don't come at you with things in the future. He can only deal with you with things in the past. So things that are familiar to you, things that, you know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the love of money, the love of material things, these are the things that he deal with you with. Mm-hmm. And so I had to come to the point where I was broken, and I had, because it got to the point that I wasn't praying, right? I wasn't reading my word. I was just mainly consumed in this female. So what God did when I began to pray to him, began to open myself up, that's when he came in and he really cleansed me all and helped me with that, because right now I'm in a place where he wants me to be at, where I can talk with him and walk with him and be close to him, because the Bible says if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So we have to realize and understand it, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be able to, that when these things come upon us, that we can get through it, we have to put God first in everything we do. Because the Bible even talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, and all these righteousness, all these things will be added unto you, correct? So that's what we need to do. And that's where I'm at in my life. And if somebody out there listening, that's single, that's going through something, believe me, and I am a man of God, and I love God, but we go through these things. But without Christ, there's no way we can make it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna jump in here. I'm gonna go back to what Rick was just brought up about 12:35. And what scared me about these verses, and you guys know, the guys that have been around me, they know I'm kind of deep. But the part that scared me about, and I'm gonna read it, Rick brought up. He says, the good man brings good out of the Lord up in him, and the evil man bring evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I'm going to go a step further. It said, but I tell you, men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every character have spoken.
Yeah.
Them say, by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be
condemned. Yeah. Correct.
So what I want to talk about as for us men that are trying to grow in Christ, and I'm talking for Jerome now, I can't speak for the rest of you guys, but what scares me is of goodness, but I also things that I know I do that George is specifying right now.
Right. That amen. Struggle with. That's right.
Struggle with that, you know, when
Jesus
from the mouth, from the heart. So those are the things when I read the scripture when Rick and Todd sent it out, it bothered me because I can be good as gold if you get me wrong. And then at a twinkling of an eye, you approach it wrong, something evil may come out of me.
Right, correct.
So what my point is, we as Christians gotta get to where we control the evil man that's been born in sin.
Correct.
Because all of us been born in sin, and I don't care how much holier than thou you may think you are.
Shoot, every Lord, now and
then somebody push a button that something comes out of you that you be hoping, man. Yeah. So what we got to do, we got to thank God for Jesus Christ, because he gives us a way to be forgiven for those times.
Right.
Way he want us to act. And I think that's what Jesus is specifying during the you know, and it touched me when I read that, because I'm saying, I'm always holier than me. I'm not always everything.
Right, correct.
I don't want the people that's out there viewing this on Tuesday night thinking that we got it. Mm-hmm. We don't have it.
No. Rephrase. No, we don't.
Rome don't always have it.
Yeah.
So I got to work on this. I got to work on these scriptures right here. I don't want any. That's being transparent. I'm very transparent about who I am with God. And I don't want anybody to think that this walk is always easy and that we always doing it. But not, I'm not. Talk about nobody. Yeah. Need to make sure I specify myself.
Yeah. Amen.
So, hey, Rick, I want to thank you for bringing these verses up. Because Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 through 7, man, it's something to think about. Next minute, you might be saying something that you shouldn't be saying. And we got to Christ and ask for forgiveness. Still Christians, we all fall short. So think about that man in the world that's struggling with things and think they're not good enough because, man, I can't get that right. I can't be like these guys on Tuesday nights. Well, I'm telling all y'all, you can be like, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, you can still get,
But you know, the crazy part about that, I'm going to give y'all a short story. Me and Glenn was talking yesterday. Glenn told me a buddy of his went into a bar. And this bar had predominantly white people in it, but he was a black guy. And this one white guy asked him what he was doing in the bar. And so when the guy went outside, the white guy went out there and tried to hit this man with a stick. Now, that's the story Glenn told me. This man really tried to hit this guy with a stick. And, you know, when Glenn told me the story, I'm going to be honest with you. Me personally, as a man, you coming at me, cause me bodily harm, I'm gonna do something to you. That I don't care how godly I am. I don't think nobody on this conference call right now is that godly to where someone coming at them to cause bodily harm, they just gonna let them do. And I say that to say this, that's what Jerome is talking about. That split second of the decision making of others as well as you. Can cause you to go into an evil thought.
Right.
Yep.
And Rick, I want to make sure we explain that. We're not saying that that's okay.
Exactly.
We gotta know that at that particular time, that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave us a way out to ask for forgiveness after you have been. And all I'm trying to specify is that we're not always going to be perfect in this world, but we got to know to ask for forgiveness when we and from a sincere really believe in that and really be asking for forgiveness. And you can't teach doing the same old things.
But right.
Make sure we let everybody know, man, that you're not going to be perfect at this thing.
Just, correct.
Exactly. Nobody's perfect in this walk.
Nope.
Anybody got anything else? Okay. Well, the next scripture that I picked up on was slowness to believe. Luke 24, verse 25. And it said, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And I read it again when everybody get caught up. Everybody's caught up.
Thanks, Rick.
I know you got to put that pork chop sandwich down, y'all.
Hey, I'm ready now.
Okay. All right. Like I said, Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And the heading for that specific scripture is slowness to believe. Can you imagine the people that's listening to this tonight that's still teetering on the line and slow or have hesitation about believing in the Lord and his word? Contrary to popular belief, there are people out there that's hesitant. I mean, let's be real. We all didn't just jump on the ship and be like, hey, we all for it. I know for me, and I'm taking a word from Jerome, being transparent here, I wasn't quick to believe. Anyone of y'all is quick to believe?
Nope, I know I wasn't.
No, sir.
I'm definitely slow to believe.
Tell us that he was going to plant that seed in all of us, the knowledge of God and knowing God. So I believed, and I was, but I the slowness that I had was following his word. I didn't want that. I can't say what I want to say right now. Almost slipped. I almost slipped.
I know.
I'm sorry. But I lived it in life, you know? And I knew Jesus Christ was going to punish me for it, but it was fine while it was like, you know?
Right.
So my slowness came from, not that I didn't believe, that I just didn't follow. I didn't want to get on board. I just didn't want to get on board because I enjoyed the other side of the world, the other side of life, and it was
fun. Right, right.
And you want to hear the crazy part about all that, Jerome? Like you said, you believe, but you just chose one path at that point. But what about those people that was believing that fell to the prey of lust or a form of lust, whether it was for a job or whatever it was for? And somehow along the way, amen, lost their way.
Amen. Hey, Rick, the truth is, Rick, once you specify, I think all of you can kind of fall in that too.
Exactly.
You can be a, I mean, George just specified that. I know George, man of God. I've actually sat down and talked to him, but George, he being very transparent and he put himself out there and talk about what he went through doesn't right. make him any less of a Christian, but he talked about his struggles. Right. And being a single man, we all fall short. God, that's his word, not Jerome's word. That's just part of God. So we fall short. But I understand what Jesus is saying about that slowness, because I when it came to Christ, man, I'm 50 years old, and I started trying to read the Bible at 18, 19, 20, and it took 50, 25, 40 years to get halfway right.
Yeah.
And halfway.
You know, Jerome now. And Rick, everybody else, even now, for Charles, as Charles being a believer in Christ now, I'm slow to believe some things that he says in his word.
Amen.
Some of the things that he says about me, who I am, some of the things he says about me, my position in him, I'm slow to believe it. And the truth about it is, cause the truth with Charles is, he tells me that I'm supposed to be renewed in the spirit of my mind because I have so much garbage from my past to old Charles. When he say renew your mind with the word, I'm at a point of where I still am slow to believe everything he says in his word to be true.
Amen.
Right.
Because he says he says love your neighbor as you love yourself. And for example, when I'm driving, somebody cut me off, I'm supposed to love that individual as I love myself. I'm supposed to pray for that person. A lot of times that prayer don't come out. Something else might come out. and that's not coming from an unbeliever. What he said that I'm slow, and I am slow to believe.
I think my biggest issue, from a transparency, is I understand what you're saying. I can read the word, I can believe the word, but controlling that sinful nature that live within. Mm-hmm. My issue is controlling the right opportunity.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
That makes sense to everybody.
It does.
I know this word. I believe in this word, but sometime at the it doesn't click in mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, I'll use me and my wife. If my wife would say something to me that ticked me off, before I know it, I probably done said something back. Now, Brother Robert Price, you know, him, he'd been at this a lot longer than me. Or a brother George, the guys had, you know, I'm still maybe on milk. Well, Brother Price might be on steak bone, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He can chew more than I can chew on. He done been there and done that, so he can handle it a little bit better than me.
Right.
So I'm still growing. So I just think we got to realize that even in this walk, we all are still growing, and we'll get there if we continue to read and continue to study. But everybody's on a different level, man. Prentice might get, I can tell you now, Prentice probably going to handle some things that I'm just not going to handle the way Prentice is going to handle.
Exactly.
Because his personality, for one, is different than mine. Todd the same way. They can handle things that I may not be able to handle. I'm trying to get there. I love God, and everybody know I study, and I'm deep. But yeah, still, yeah, particular time, and I got to learn to hold that thought, right, right. That song, I don't want to. Amen.
Right. 6 months ago, me and Jerome, we walked through the Old Testament, and we spent a lot of time in the Old Testament and talked about the differences. And I think when Jesus brought repentance into play because of that, because we was going to be slow to believe. As believers, the struggle, I think the number one struggle is that we battle those things. What we is like we pick and choose what we believe.
Yeah.
It doesn't make us less men of God or our faith waver, but some things. You ever been going through stuff and God does something that just blows your mind and like, how can he blow my mind? You know what I'm saying? It's like I've been reading the word, I've been talking to a few of you guys, and he does something that I know without a shadow of a doubt that is him. And then for me, it's repentance and it's a testament to his greatness.
Right, correct.
To his power. Also that we know the word, we know it, we study it and we read it.
Yeah.
We still slow to believe. I just think it's a testament to his greatness and his power.
You know the crazy part about that, Todd? I know for a fact, you, myself, Jerome periodically, all of us from the Prosperity Newberry area, we grew up in a church-oriented atmosphere of Mount Olive. And we was put on the path, but we chose to, at some point, we strayed from that path. And it ain't like they didn't try to teach us, but we strayed from it, whether it was lust of the heart, lust of a job, lust of materialistic things. These are things you're referring to, I believe, Todd, other than just the sexual part.
Right.
And then as time went on, we had an epiphany. Wait a minute, God is the answer. And honestly, I think we all had to go through some version of whatever we went through to get to the point we at now. Because if we didn't go through it, how many of us could honestly say we'll be here right now?
Yeah.
So that thing goes back to that when I said that lust was somewhat of a necessary evil. How can you talk about a walk if you never walked? Mm-hmm. How can you be a testimony for someone if you never went through something remotely close to what they went
through?
And I got to say, y'all all saying, for speaking for me, y'all saying slowness to believe, that was with me too. But what about being scared to believe?
Scared?
Yeah, scared to believe. And for me, like, I was scared at one point because I knew I made all the mistakes. So I got to walk on eggshells if I believe in God. That's what I was thinking at first, you know, not knowing he'd accept your mistakes. They call on me in church to say a prayer, to read a scripture. Me, I'm scared because I got to live that right path, not knowing I'm going to make mistakes in my life. And he knows that as well. So I was also scared to believe at one point.
Exactly. And you know, part of that scared part, it had a lot to do with your upbringing, because people, I can tell you for a fact, my grandma used to tell me, sit up in church. Don't you talk in church. Listen to what the pastor say. This is, you got to do this. You got to live this way. You got that. That was the way you was told. So as you grew up and you started figuring out your way, you were scared because you didn't want to do nothing wrong in the eyes of what you was told. And that has a lot to do with it, Jock. I mean,
my fear was, I always felt like if you're gonna start talking that walk, you got to be ready to live it. My fear was because I wasn't ready to totally let go of. I just leave it at that. And so a lot of times we are scared is because when you cross those boundaries of starting reading the Bible, getting close to God, the expectations is high. That you need to do the thing. And so for me, I'm like, okay, do I really want to step on that side? Do I really want to go? Do I want to live a life of one, straddling the fence, as they call it?
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to go that route. So it took me a long time, man, because I didn't want to. And I don't know if any of y'all are gonna agree with this. I was ashamed for my friends to know that I was serving God.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Been there.
Because your friend wasn't the same level as you.
Yeah.
Man, my friends wrong studying the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I for a long time I didn't want to accept that. And Rick, for one thing I want to correct you on, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up. I belong to Mount Olive, but I didn't go to Mount Olive.
Oh.
Yeah, my family, we didn't go to church until I was 18.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't
feel what I was getting at though.
Hey, I got you. Hey, you're on the right track. I just wanted to let you know that I didn't know it.
Anybody got anything else?
Well, I think the part of too, when even when you brought up the way you was brought up and the way we grew up is, I think you have to learn for yourself.
Amen. Sir. Amen. Mm-hmm.
I think what happens a lot of times when you can't go off of grandma's belief.
Right. Yeah.
Because at some point you got to find the truth for yourself.
Yourself. Yeah.
Grandmama got her own belief and what grandmama is gonna stick to. Yes. But Prentice had to find out for himself where his path was. And like many of us, we tried different paths.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We tried a lot of wrong paths. So I had to find a path for me. And sometimes, even at then, I didn't know what the path was. I had no idea. And I don't think I shared this with you guys. I can remember at 3:00 in the morning in Newberry, South Carolina, coming up Wilson Boulevard right there at the red light at 34.
Uh-oh.
The light red at 3:00 in the morning. Ain't nobody on the road. I remember saying the words, God, like, got to be better than this right here.
Mm.
It got to be better than this right here. Because something was missing. Mm. See, I had to find that path for myself, and he had to show it to me. Mm. And he had to show it to me. Because a few weeks after that, that's when my friend invited me to come to church with him and actually study the Bible with me. And see, that's the other thing too. One thing I admire about Jerome so much is that he took it and he dove in. He dove in with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got a partner in there with him so they can work together. Then he added a few more. It's like, come on, we got to work this thing out so I can figure out this path, man.
Mm-hmm.
The thumb got me. I got to figure out what it is so we can work together.
I want to add something to it, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong. I was actually disappointed when I first started going to church. Now, by no means am I saying don't go to church, because I think everybody should go to church. But when I first started going to church, and reading the word and diving, like Prentice saying, deeper in, because I always believe whatever you do, you give it all you got.
Yeah.
But then when I go to church, man, and I'm in the church and I'm all so much about God, and then you know, the same old ladies come out once the church over and they cussing out on the church ground and they doing all this mm-hmm. other stuff that, and you thinking that, you know, your outside of Christianity, you be like, whoa, man, that ain't, you know, that is that right? I mean, it confuses you when you've been in the streets all your life and you know these people been in church all your life. So mm-hmm. you go to the church and you expect to see something different. You holding these people. So what I had to learn, Prentice, is that when you go to church, you can't go to church worrying about how everybody else is living. You got to go to church for your own salvation.
Exactly.
See, I went to church thinking and expecting to see something. So this may be helping somebody, because everybody, when they go to church and you've been in the streets and then you go to church, you expect to see these holier than thou people. And that's not always the case. Right. If you go into your local homegrown church, if everybody understand what I'm saying.
Because
I'm not trying to say this wrong, but I'm trying to help people that's from the streets that may go to the church like I did. And then they're expecting to see people that just, oh, Lord, and all praising God. And they may be acting in a way that's not godly. Just because people going to church does not mean that they holier than thou and they all godly. So what we need to stop as individuals is putting people that go to church on a pedestal.
Right. That's what.
You know what I'm saying? So I put people that went to church on a pedestal, and then when I went to church, I was disappointed because their action didn't line up with the word of God.
Yeah, the wayward Christian.
It caused me to take a step back early in my walk with God, because I was like, whoa, man. But then I was looking at it wrong. Yeah. I'm looking at the people, and I'm not looking for the word of God, because I can't walk in Brother Price's shoes. He's got to get his own. He got to work out his own salvation with God, like Prentice is talking about, and so do I. But it was a lot of time, man. I was passing judgment on people in the church because I didn't think they was living by the word, and I'm passing judgment myself, and I'm wrong. I'm wrong because I don't have no heaven or hell to put somebody in, but I'm passing judgment because of what I read. But I don't know. They make mistakes just like we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, that would surprise a lot of people on the street, because it surprised me. And I'm in the church. You know, I grew up in the church and I was in the church.
So you know what I'm talking about, right, Johnson?
Now that I'm a steward at my church and I work in the finance room, and now it's different level to it because I see different things as well. Even though I didn't just come in from the street, I see different things as well. You know, amen. Just seeing that, like, churches, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but church is almost like high school sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You got different mentalities.
So that with me, it's my relationship with God. That's why I say with me, you know, some people, it's religion too, but it's my relationship with God. I like the fellowship with my church people. That's what I miss about church now, the fellowship, but right. It's also my relationship with God. It ain't just, I'm gonna go to church just to say I went because it's a religious Sunday. It's that relationship.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people go to church and they
need to get like a banana, apple, or something like that.
I think a lot of people go to church and they feel like, wow, if I go to church, I'm gonna be judged, or you know, you hear so many reasons why people that don't go to church, why they don't go to church. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying tonight that, hey, when you start to walking with God, you're going to church for yourself. You're not going to church for Josh or Todd or Brother Price. You're going to church so that you can get closer to God. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody told me that. I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah,
and that's why I was in and out of church early in my life, because I was looking at people and trying to judge Christianity by what I saw and not my own walk with God. And it threw me off. So I'm saying to anybody that may start going to church and getting their life right with God, don't go up in church looking at everybody else and how they walk. Just work on yourself and get closer to God for yourself. Because when you start looking at man, it's going to throw you off. You might see something that you don't want to see. That don't mean they're not a Christian. That just means mm-hmm. they're not perfect. Amen. Exactly. Amen.
You know, that's where this walk with God is a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I remember going to church, go to church. I was around Christian people, godly people, but until I had an encounter with God, when I had that encounter with God, that's when my life changed. And that encounter with God has kept me where I'm at today. And I have been, I didn't do nothing. It was all God out of that encounter, that one encounter. 34 years and 15 days, I have been alcohol and drug free.
Amen. 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 Amen.
If I would have tried to do it on myself, I would never had, I didn't have it in me. I didn't have to go to a rehab. The rehab, an earthly rehab, the rehab I went to was that encounter with God. That's when he changed me from the inside out. That very moment, right then and there, he gave me the ability and the power to walk 34 years and 15 days.
Amen.
Amen. There wasn't nobody, I mean, that's because when I stand before God, I don't know what, I can't tell God what the pastor did. I can't tell God what the deacons or whoever, my wife, my brother. I'm going to have to give account for what I've done myself. What have you done, Charles, with what I have given you?
What is that?
Amen. Amen. And that's basically what I was saying too, Charles. Amen.
Yeah.
But Charles, it's a process.
Yes.
And unless people, I love to speak from a man coming from the streets. See, I honestly believe that if I ever start a church, if I ever was like, if I would love to be a part of Glenn Church, not me, but I would love to be part of helping the administration of the church. And the role that I would want to play is I would love to be the guy that taught the new people when they come off the streets and come into the church.
Yes, sir.
That's the role that I would love to play, because I would want to give them the expectations and downplay some expectations and help them to gradually understand what church life and what walking with God is all about, instead of, you know, putting these expectations that everybody in the church is just holier than thou, which is not true. Mm-hmm. And then the other aspect of it is when you walk off the streets into the church, everybody have a tendency sometimes to look down on you.
Okay. That's not right.
I want to make sure I greet that brother with so much love and respect and say, hey man, come on up in here. I'm in here. Right. You can be up in here too. You know, I want to shout him with love and say, hey, come on up in here. I'm glad to have you. I'm glad you here. See, I didn't get that. Man, they were looking at me like, oh Lord, what the world done happened? Nah, Jerome board up in church. That's what I got when I first went to Mount Olive. I felt so bad, man. Everybody looking at me like I had committed a sin just walking through the door.
Right.
And I really felt that. So I'm just saying to you that we need to do a better job, man, when new people come into church, of making them feel loved and special. And I think that's what Jesus Christ would do. And I think that's what we should do.
Exactly.
That's throwing true love.
Let me throw this in here. Some of my background, me and Prentice, we grew up in the same church. And now that I'm growing and in a place, I really understand what I didn't get, right? I didn't get taught enough to have an understanding. And so when I became a young adult, the people who would talk to me and would interact with me, the common theme was repentance.
Amen.
The common theme was repentance, right? And so even though I grew up in the church and part of me yearned for the relationship with the Lord, but the selfish part of me was greater than that. And so because I ran across a lot of people who, when they did talk to me about the Lord, they always talked about repentance. And I'm going to be honest with you, I abused it, because this is the quality of the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that they share. They go to church and they whoop and holler and they lie. I don't doubt that they will. Men of God and women of God, but at the end of the day, they was almost like, and this, most of that was me. It was because I didn't want to give in anyway. I didn't want to submit. But if I can repent, and of course I didn't have an understanding of what repentance was, but I almost felt good that I was acting in a way that was some of the kingdom, if that makes sense. It's crazy, but because they were saying, all you got to do, they literally would say, all you got to do is repent. Now, and I'm saying that to say we got to be very careful about what we say to people, because you're talking to a young buck, which was me, who fighting the urge to come in and to submit, And then you say all you gotta do is repent. Boom. Boom. What do you think gonna happen to a guy that's straddling the fence? I guess I don't even know if I was straddling the fence. I think I had picked the side, but that those folks helped me stay on the other side by saying all you gotta do is repent to a guy who's struggling. Man, that's keys to do whatever. And I just want to make sure that we don't do that at every step of the way. I don't want to. That's why I'm so adamant about us being transparent. And hey, if you're saying something that might hurt somebody feeling close to you, that's sometimes that's what it's called for. But I took repentance, man, and I know I probably abused it for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Just and pushing my own walk back further, I put a stumbling block in my own way just by saying, by being told, all you got to do is repent. Now, if you're going to share that with somebody, you got to share all the angles of what repentance is. No one shared what repentance was. They made me understand that's the love for forgiveness, right? Yeah. I would come out of hotel room, get in the car.
Lord,
forgive me. And I planned it 3 days ago. Like, I planned the hotels, everything. I planned all the whole shebang. But because several people from church say, hey, all you got to do is ask God for forgiveness, the planning didn't even feel wrong. You know what I mean? Like, me planning to do what I'm doing is to certify, because when I finish, all I got to do is ask the Lord for forgiveness. So I just want to make sure that we never put a stumbling block in anybody's way.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, what you're saying is powerful, Tom, because even Paul says, he says, where grace abounds, sin, where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. And people take that to say that I have a right because of God's grace to do whatever I want. And then we continue in sin. And he said, God forbid, because he letting you know there got to be a point in time that you have to make up in your mind, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to live on this side and do what's right. And as men of God, are we going to get it right every day? No. We have the understanding that we can ask for forgiveness in the truth of the matter. If it's something that we, like you said, if we plan or we're intending to do, you're intending to do that. And so you're going to bring it, and with it comes the consequences. And now the consequences may later on make you change and repent, but it will be true repentance, because the consequences will bring you to your knees and let you know that, you know what, I can't do that no more. And then do you get the guilt? After you've done something that you know is not right, do you get the condemnation and that guilt? If you don't get that condemnation and that guilt, then you got to check yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because the Holy Ghost is telling you, I'm grieved. I'm fighting with you not to do this. And every time I say don't, you do it anyway. And so the Bible says plainly, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. However, we do things every day in our flesh that causes conflict. And when that conflict hits us, then we have a decision to make. Is it true repentance, or are we just abiding in God's grace until the hammer falls?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good.
So with all that being said, I say the best for last, guys. Believing with the heart in it. And that verse comes from Luke 10:27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Did everybody get that?
Yeah, that's strong.
Exactly.
So I got a question for everybody then. And I'm just asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind if you don't love your neighbor as so?
There's no way possible.
No.
I'm just asking.
No, I don't see it.
Matter of fact, Rick finished that scripture. Because if you look at what it says, you should love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, thyself, and thy neighbor as thyself. On this hangs what?
All the prophets. The law and the
law and the prophets. I mean, no matter what it is or what it's concerning, God tell you, if you ain't doing that, you're not doing nothing. Paul goes back and says, if I'm not loved, I have not charity, I'm a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. So if you cannot possibly love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your power, and then look at your brother, the creation he made, and hate it.
Mm-hmm. And, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take it a step further.
Open up their eyes and then go to church for years and open up their eyes and find themselves in hell because
of love.
Form and fashion, not about the truth.
And Glenn, let's not leave out this part. Let's not leave out this part. He said you can prophesy, you can speak with tongues, you can do all these gifts that you may have, but if you don't have love, you are nothing.
Nothing.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. So what y'all just said, Jerome, Rick, and Glenn, it was emphatic, right? So how did we get to this difficult place with loving our neighbors? Was it the fact that the word haven't been taught consistently around? What happened to put us in the position that God's word is clear about how we're supposed to love our neighbors, right? And so as of all of us probably struggle with that. I know I do. So is it the lack of really teaching it?
Well,
did we dance around the teaching part of that? Because to me, that should be a foundational point of emphasis. If it meant that much to God.
Well, Todd, I read that the very first topic I spoke on, pretty much hit it on the head with lust, and part of that with that scripture is spoke of deceitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the end right there. Because with deceitfulness, you have mixed values and views that get interjected into something, and before you know it, it's not of God.
Amen.
Well, my question is how us, the 14 on here, that know what he said. With no deceitfulness. It ain't no deceitfulness. Jerome was very clear. Glenn was very clear on what God said. How is this still a struggle for us?
Well, you know, I'm going to answer that with a question. We can profess to be Christian,
mm-hmm.
and we love God. Then why is Sunday the most segregated day of the week? It's the most segregated day of the week because blacks worship with blacks, white worship with whites, Hispanic worship with Hispanics, Asians with Asians. Everybody's separated. There are very few churches where people come together of mixed race and mixed ethnic. I can't even say the word tonight because I'm tired. But, you know, ethnic backgrounds. And, you know, we look at that thing. We've been taught. It's been indoctrinated. That's where we go. We go to home church. We go to community. And we've been taught it. Unfortunately, the only way to break it is by when a child is born, it does not know skin color, does not know hate, it doesn't know anything. It is taught that all of its life. And at a point in time in life, that person has to make a conscious decision that that's not how I'm going to live. The church body has to make the same conscious decision that that's not what we're going to be about. We're going to be about God's work. We don't care who, what, where, and where you come from. And when we learn to embrace each other in that manner, and it starts with these small groups. It starts outside of the church walls. It's not even the church. We can't even blame them anymore. Because it starts with us, with groups like this that not being segregated, that everybody has access to, anybody can come. And when we start opening the doors to that dynamic, that all are welcome because Christ is for all, and we start walking in that path, then you'll see it eventually start to change. It is not going to be an overnight process because it did not happen overnight for us to get to the state of mind and the state of being. I'm alive for 52 years. It took me 52 years of this experience to become the person that I am now. If I'm going to change, it is going to take me time to water out the 52 years of experience that I have,
right,
be it positive or negative. And the only way the church can defeat separatism, racism, ideologism, whatever you want to call it, it has to take on the full mantle of God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, we look at it and say, how many commandments are? We always quote the 10 commandments. And actually, there's 11.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he starts to talk about it, he says, this new commandment give I unto you. Yeah. The first 10 was given to you in Exodus and Leviticus. Mm-hmm. Then he tells you, I think it's in John, this new commandment give I unto you, that you should love your neighbor as yourself, like as Luke, like Luke, Rick just spoke. And he tells us that this is what is predicated to seeing the church go the right way. On this hangs all the law and the prophets. Without love in this body, it cannot stand. A house divided against itself will fall.
Hey, let me throw this in there. Todd, mm-hmm. I'm going to answer your question, and I'm going to throw a little twist on there. I'm going to try to bring, I'm going to do what Glenn normally do for me. First Peter, second chapter, verse 1. Okay, and this is what Jesus says. This is what the word of God says, and I think this is the answer that we can use to help us get rid of all this. He said, and this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Mm. I believe that as newborn babies in Christ, right. You have to take that verse and you got to start all over. You got to rid yourself of what you think you know, and you got to get rid of all this malice and all deceit. In order to serve God properly, you got to get rid of all this hypocrisy, envy, yeah. slander of every kind. That's his word, not my word. I'm just reading it to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. This is his word now.
Amen. Go ahead. You know why Peter is telling that? Why the Holy Ghost is telling Peter that? Because if you look at Romans 12:2, it's what? Be ye not conformed to this world.
Amen.
But what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's perfect will is for me to love my neighbor as I love myself. And you just read right there in Peter, you got to look, by renewing my mind, I got to lay aside all that malice, all that prejudice.
Got to get rid of all that.
Acquired out of all these years. And let me tell you this, for Charles, it just don't happen automatically.
Right.
Be renewed in the spirit of my mind through the word. Watch my mind with the word of God to get this stuff out of my mind, out of my image, so I can so the Holy Ghost can transform me into the image of Christ. So when that brother pulled in front of me, I can say, Lord, I love him, that he'll be, and I hope and pray that he'll be able to get wherever he's going. Because that old Charles go in that five vocabulary word.
Yeah.
Just saying, but yeah, and it's a process that we have to allow God.
Exactly.
Because like Glenn said earlier, you got all these years, all this stuff, all this worldliness built up in our mind and in our image, and that takes a process of changing and forming it.
Has to be filtered out.
Yes, the old Charles is dead. And behold, everything has become new. My newness is through Christ. My newness is a new way of love. Because like we were talking about, earlier, Rick, about love and lust. I mean, for is my way of loving a woman was through lust.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That was for me. I don't know anybody else. That was. But yet God shows me a better way to love my wife, the one that has blessed me with. And I can love her with a godly love.
Mm-hmm.
Love just don't come automatic. My mind has to be renewed, and the Holy Ghost has to show me and work with me on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, we got two pastors online on the forum tonight that I know of. It may be somebody else, I don't know. But I want to ask the question to the pastors. And I'm asking a question, not trying to offend it. Have the church itself disappointed Jesus Christ? Because When a new babe in Christ come to the Lord, have the church really done the right things to get him prepared for Jesus?
That with an emphatic no.
The answer is no. But I know this pastor, he passed away, and he had 66 committees in his church. And one of the ones I used to laugh about is the pimp committee. He had a pimp committee. Anybody that was a pimp before, they'd be in the pimp committee. Anybody was a prostitute on the street, they'd be in the prostitute committee. So whatever you did on the street, he put you in that committee if you wanted to be in that. And
why not just be a Christian?
Huh? Say again, bud.
Why you had all them committees? Why not just be a Christian?
No, no, you can be with you. You're going to be a Christian. But that's who, as our brother Jerome said, when they come in, you can relate to them.
Amen. I see what you're saying.
I've been there. I'm here now. So you can come here.
Yeah,
so,
I got you.
That make, you know, that'll help anybody. I did it. You can do it. Yeah, so,
I like
and, you know, he it worked for him. He's out there in California. And a lot of stuff that been said, man, the church ain't but four corner walls. That's all. It's the Spirit of God that gonna move and control everything. And like y'all were saying, the love, true love, love thy neighbor as thyself. Everybody you see is your neighbor. So you need to love that individual as you love Christ. You can say it's hard. It may be. Brother might be to cuss you out, cut you off, cut you in the line, call you all kind of name, don't know you. But the Spirit that dwells within you will compassion you. Your heart will touch your heart that you be. Now, I know it's not easy. I know that ain't for everybody, but you can get there. You can touch, it'll touch your heart that you be able to treat them as you treat yourself. Yes, let me share this with you. I know folks that hate my guts, and I don't care. I love the hell out of them. I don't care. I'm saved. Not this. I'm saved. I'm the one that got Christ on the inside. I'm walking this new walk. And I heard Brother Charles was talking about the old Charles. The old Robert Price, that cat been dead for 30 years. You can't even find him no more. He dead and gone. I don't pick him up. None of that mess. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to share this with the brothers now. I know one fella, he'll tell my testimony, better not do, but that's all right anyway. On the day that I got saved, I was already drunk and high, like 8 o'clock in the morning, like we do every September, Labor Day. We're cooking out. I passed out drunk in one of them little small kiddie pools about 9 or 10 o'clock that morning. I woke up my partner, I told my partner these exact words. I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to be governor. But I'm going to do something big. I went home, took a shower, put on a suit. I ain't looked back since. I haven't looked back since.
Amen.
The Lord washed me that day.
Amen.
And I haven't looked back since. And I'm here to help any brother. And I tell any brother or sister that you can make it. You can be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. I ain't with all that part-time. There's only one step in the Lord. One step. I mean, we all grow. That's why he mentioned babies and milk. We all grow to what he wants us to be. Yes. But remember this. He went in the ground, rose on the third day, walked the earth, and ascended to heaven 40 days later. There's no step process. You save, you save. That's it. If you save, you save. Yeah, you can grow. But if you save, you save. I heard Brother Todd talking about when he was up there around Newberry doing the going out and asking for forgiveness. Well, Jesus told you 7 times 70 in one day.
Mm-hmm.
He told you that.
Mm-hmm.
7 times 70 in one day. That's a lot of asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's how much we must have for one another. That's how much we must have for our brothers and sisters.
Yep.
We know they're going to do it. We know we're going to do it. The Apostle Paul said what? He was called up to the third heaven, heard things that shouldn't be spoken on earth. But he told you, I'm not perfect. He was taking cats out of the church, taking people out of the church, and dragging them, having them killed, and all kind of mess.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's Paul. And I mentioned David earlier. We put new people on the pedestal. We read them on the Sunday school tonight Bible study. But what about the epistle of Todd, or the epistle of Brother Charles, or the epistle of Brother Jerome, Brother Prentice? What about those epistles? You write your story.
Mm-hmm.
You write your story. So whatever, and Brother Jerome, you got a powerful testimony, but the Lord can do great things for you. But we're the only epistle some folks don't ever see or hear.
Amen.
We live. And we can sit there someday and say, well, I don't feel like being Christian. That can't work.
Come on.
That can't work.
Amen.
We got to live this life. And we know all the people in the church that live in faith life, they hallelujah on Sunday and hallelujah on Monday. We know that. We know that. Come on, man. We ain't fooling about it, but it's about us.
Amen.
Those that's walking this walk.
Amen.
I mean, that's really doing it. Like I said, me and Prentice, I don't know why I love him so much, but me and that cat used to sit in the parking lot after work instead of when I'm first got saved. So you know, he ain't telling you nothing new. I'm just telling you that this walk, people gonna love you, use you, abuse you, just like they did Jesus. We're no better than Jesus, but we're still supposed to love the hell out of them. Still, I ain't said let them do it. If you know, you control it. But he could have came on the cross, but he didn't. And that's what gets me so much. And I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna hush. It reminds me of Joseph, when he could have slept with Potiphar's wife. Nobody would have known. He could have got away with it. But he said these words. He said, how can I do this and sin against God? It's not what we do to sin against these people. It's the sin against God. We do this because we're pleasing the Father. We're loving our neighbors, our wives, our family, each other because of God Almighty. Nobody else. And when you're doing it, like focus on the Lord like that, man, he opened up doors. He keep problems out of your way. Now, you're going to go through something. We still in the flesh. We're going to go through a lot. But the problem that we think we can't handle, then you don't handle. He does. Stand still and watch the salvation. That's what he said. The battle is not yours. It's mine. And prove to you that he is who he say he is. That he will fight our battles. You just have to represent him. That's all. Let him use these vessels. That's what they for. They for the Holy Ghost to use. That's what these temples are for. I'm a husband, my God bless you.
Jerome, too, I mean, the question you asked, does the church bear responsibility? And in a way that they have a new Christian, absolutely, they do it wrong. The church does it wrong because they think once, like you said, when you walk through the door, everybody was looking down at you and looking at you like you were crazy. I know the question was asked, what did I do so bad that God had to come and rescue me? And then when I got in church, they told me if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't saved.
Amen.
You got doctrines and things and rules in place that keep people from understanding who God truly Amen. Is. Newcomers class should be about God and not about your doctrine.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, this is what we do here. This is what we believe. Well, what does God believe? What does God say? And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of them don't want to tell you what God said because they know good and well that the word of God contradicts their doctrine.
Come on, man.
Yes.
The word of God contradicts their doctrine. And because of that, well, this is how we do it over here. And that ain't nowhere in the Bible.
Mm-mm.
They don't want you to see that because now you're a member on a roll. It's not to you coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's why the Bible tells you work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Because once you start to study to show thyself approved unto God.
That's right.
You not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Your understanding and your quest will lead you to like-minded people that you can learn from each other. That's why iron sharpens iron, so does man sharpen the countenance of his brother. I think the church misses the mark because they're so worried about doctrine. And it goes back to that same statement I made a few minutes ago. That is also why it's the most segregated place on Sunday during the week.
That's right. That's
the most segregated place you could ever find. Look at any other organization, on the face of this planet, and you'll find out church is the most segregated there is in Christianity, in religion itself. It separates, it segregates, it tears apart. And until they come to the understanding that a person coming to receive Christ, you need to give Christ, not your doctrine.
That's right.
Church lacks, and it will continue to lack until they change the way they do it.
I want to say this.
Picture I put up with that church. Y'all remember?
Yeah, the little one.
That picture of the, the 200 years old church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I read all the time. I love history and I read all the time. And I was born in 71. And so my memory goes back fairly early in the 70s. And when we walked in the church, they hand you a hymn book, or they hand the adult a hymn book. Your kids didn't get them, but each adult's got a hymn book. And when and you date back to that picture that I put up, most people couldn't read sufficiently back then, right? But we can sing. And so we sung, and we sung, and we sung, and then we ate. And so some of it is we didn't have the ability to teach it for long periods of time. And then you factor in, it hasn't been long between when we got educated and then the mega churches. And so the teaching, when was teaching ever a priority in our culture, in our churches? You know, like that's kind of for me, the I can't get those hymn books and the music. And it was like, I know people would be asleep until the song come on. You know what I mean? Like, even if the teaching was like plus, if you sleep and you only wake up when the music come on, that's my grandmama's favorite song. That's my grandmama's favorite. Like the music really get a chance. When you get a chance, look it up, dig into it. The music was, and back in the days, man, and I ain't knocking it because, man, it brought our people through. It brought our people through, but we missed a lot in terms of teaching because of the music aspect.
Mm-hmm. I wanna, if y'all guys don't mind, I wanna tell y'all guys my ideal church. And I think we got three pastors. I think Dakota is a pastor. Oh, I know Glenn and I know George. And for anybody else, forgive me. But this is Jerome Boyd's ideal of church. If I had to establish a church today, this is what I would do. First and foremost, number one, I would want to own the church. And what I'm talking about, the building where you can give if you want to. That's between you and your God. Mm-hmm. I know tithes and all that's in the Bible. But I honestly believe that there are so many ways to give your tithes. And if you work it out between you and your God, and if you want to give it in our pulpit, you give it. And if you don't, you don't. Because I want God to bless it well enough where we're going to handle everything in the church going to be taken care of. Number two, I would love to see a church be solely about teaching the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And not be a part of any organization. Not be a part of some affiliation where Glenn can dictate how we're going to do business and not have to go through some organization and they got to do the rituals or traditional, how it traditional says should be done. I want it to be about what we're talking about tonight, about the word of God. And when you come through those doors, you're going to be learning. And even if we have a Bible study and that Bible study got fire and everybody's so into it, then the preacher don't preach this day. The whole church get a Bible study class. Amen. And get part of it. And the preacher just sit back and be part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are learning. They are learning. But I don't know if there's a lot of learning going when the preacher's up preaching. And And I know a lot of people at my churches I used to go to, they didn't come to Bible study. So when did they learn? Like what Todd is saying. Todd, he's saying some valid points. Now, some people might, you know, blasphemous to us for saying it, but it's the truth. So what I'm saying is, I'm just giving you my ideal. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I wish, and I would love to have all you guys there to help me to get this thing organized where we can have a church of God, about God, and have a preacher. And, you know, 1 week Glenn preach, 1 week George preach, next week Dakota preach. But these guys are on one accord because we in the same thing, and it don't make the preacher no better than nobody else because we all about the word of God.
Yeah.
And the bills are going to be paid, the lights and all that stuff going to be taken care of because we all are blessed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's my idea. And I got so many more ideas because I just feel like I didn't get taught a lot. I had to go to church and I listened to a preacher for, he get up about 15 minutes and then he sit down. We do all the singing. And then I'm back out the door feeling like I done did something because I went to church on Sunday morning. I don't know if that's the right way. I don't know if that's what God intended for church to be about. I just don't know if it, and I know some of y'all may disagree with that, but I just don't know if that's what God intended for church to be about. I don't. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, and I'm sorry, but mm-hmm. I just think church is, I think God is bigger than that. I think he deserves more than that, you know, and I think that's where we missed the mark on a lot of people. Come as you are. Come on to church. I just want to get you there. You know, if you can get there and hear a Glenn preach or hear a George preach or a Dakota preach, man, just get them to the church. Don't worry about what you got on. We'll dress you up later. So just come to the building, man. We'll get you dressed up. We'll help you get jobs. We'll help you figure out how to live your life. We'll help your marriages, man. We'll be so in tune with each other's lives that we'll have better lives. I believe that. Amen. I'm going to leave it alone.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, come in your flip-flap shorts and tank top. It don't matter. Just come.
I don't care how you come. I don't care how you come. Just come.
Amen. That's the how many of you guys real, how long did it take you guys to realize that it wasn't no uniform at church? that it wasn't a uniform or a dress code.
Oh, okay.
Sunday morning, it was more time spent talking to me about what I'm supposed to look like.
Oh yeah.
And what I learned in 4 hours at church. No, you can't wear that blue, it's fall, spring. I don't know. You can't wear white shoes because it's the fall. You can't.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've said this several times on here. I came from Kent. I came from Kent at church and not do. I heard so many things that I can't do that I was scared to do anything. I got a question, but I can't ask him. I couldn't even go to the bathroom because the preacher in there standing up like, come on, man, I'm about to wet my pants. You tell me I can't go to 2:30. It's 10:30. So that's the stuff Jerome talking about right there.
I want to make sure we let everybody know, Todd, that we're not bashing church. We just feel that it could be, it's a good place to go. It's a good place. We still want people to go to church. I want to make sure we emphasize that we're not bashing church, from a godly perspective, we're looking at it from the word of God. I just know that we can do things better. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I agree with you, Jerome. I agree.
Yeah. I think, too, you got to look, the trend of church is changing now, especially due to COVID.
Amen.
COVID has definitely changed the way God's intended for us to do church. You're seeing more small groups. Mm-hmm. You're seeing more study groups pop up. You're seeing people who are genuinely looking for the word of God.
Word of God.
I was watching church out of Orangeburg, Greater Miracle Temple, the other night, Sunday morning, while I was at the hospital. And they had a round table discussion.
That's what I'm talking about. Amen.
And
amen.
The congregation got to ask questions.
Amen.
They didn't have a preacher. This wasn't there to talk. They asked questions. How many times the pastor said, you know what? We're just going to have a question and answer session.
Man, that would be awesome.
They don't.
Answer the people's questions. There's nothing wrong with that. Me as a pastor will scare you because you might show up on Sunday, there's a bus. And when you get there, we ain't having regular service. We're going to the park and feed the homeless today. We're not having, you're going to be a servant today. You're not coming here to get fed. You're going to be a servant. For these 2 hours that we set aside for church, we're going to the park and we're going to serve the homeless.
Right.
That's what God's intended for us to be.
Amen. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Glenn.
And he taught his disciples. We feel if you can't hoop, you can't preach. And I ain't a hooper. I'm sorry. You ain't gonna get me to hot. I can't do it. That ain't me. I'm not gonna do it. I can preach, but you won't hear that hooping is not what I do. God has given us a gift to awaken something inside our brothers and sisters that's dormant.
Right.
And hooping may get your body excited because your spirit is excited, but then after it's over with, what have you learned?
Nothing.
Teaching. The scripture even says that you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish and he'll live forever. Go ye therefore and teach my disciples. And so the operative word is teaching. I think when the church gets more and more back to teaching, man, you're going to see a flood of people come in.
Yeah.
A flood of it. And I'm excited about it because I see Greater Miracle Temple does it. I saw a couple of churches in Charleston. I saw a couple here where people are having roundtable discussion. That congregation gets to ask questions. That is so powerful to me.
That's what I'm talking about, Glenn.
Amen.
Like y'all pastors, we got three of them on here. Y'all pastors, man, teach the congregation what to do with their finances. Teach the congregation have a marriage session. Teach the kids how they should treat their parents and how they should act when they go to school. Break it all down to them. I mean, use the church to really advance people's lives. And I'm talking about, you know, we're preaching and we want the word, but you can still use that in the same essence of teaching the word. You can use scriptures to back up what you're saying. I just feel like it's needed. I would love to be in the congregation and you're talking about budgeting, what you're going to do with your money, how to save money. And the pastor leading the way, man. You know, a pastor, man, they really listen to a pastor. Don't women listen, you know? You know, there's some guys out there.
I have to give my pastor credit. I give my pastor credit, and because he does everything you said. He teaches a finance class in congregation. Yep. He teaches fiscal responsibility, physical responsibility. Everything you just said, he has at heart. He teaches.
Amen. That. You know what I'm talking about. Amen.
And so that's my church gets that. I can't speak for other churches because I'm not a part of other churches, but my church gets that. Our pastor does that. Mm-hmm. And then as his assistant, I follow his guidance and direction. When I'm pastoring, when I'm interim pastoring with somebody, I do the same thing. I teach those qualities because I feel that it's more important to teach you how to live as a Christian
Amen.
Than to give you a word on Sunday that's going to get you excited to go home and forget.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
I
have to give credit. Pastor Robinson, the one I was just talking about, Greater Miracle Temple, he has question and answer. He has financial class that he teaches or his daughter teaches. He, you know, how to live right, how to eat clean, all according to the Bible. These are stuff that's in the Bible. So there are some pastors out there that have grasped hold of it. We just got to pray that more take hold, that they're not trying to be entertainers, true men and women of God that are going to break the word of God out to the people to get.
Yeah, it's something out there. I know it's getting late, but I think I need to go ahead and share this while it's on my heart, kind of heavy. I'm listening to everything that Jerome and everybody else is saying. Back in 1991, I was invited to the church I'm at now by one of my best friends. And it was here in Columbia. When they opened the doors and I walked through the doors, and I ain't trying to offend nobody, but when I opened the door and then when I walked in the door, there was a white man standing up there preaching. I looked around, started seeing white people and black people in the same building.
Yes, Lord.
I wasn't saying yes, Lord. I was looking for the back door. I was not saying yes, Lord. I was looking for the back door.
Oh,
before I could say anything, my partner grabbed me and said, come on up here and sit with me because I was looking for the back seat by the door, cause that's what I was looking for. And he moved, and we walked up to the third row from the front. It didn't put me on the end; put me in the middle. Right. And so, I was trying to grasp what the preacher was saying and everything, but all I could see was white people, and I saw the black people, and I saw a few Asians, and I'm standing here and I'm looking. When service was over, he introduced me to two people in a row. I got to the corner aisle on the end, and I headed straight for the door because I was leaving. I was like, "Oh, this ain't cause." Of course, I told you where I was from. So I'm getting up out of there. I look, this ain't too much for me because it was foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, before I can get out the door, I remember this just as plain as day. And me and this guy is one of the closest friends today. This tall, lanky, white guy from Georgia. He had that deep Southern Georgia twang. And he stopped me at the door and he said, "Hey, bud, how you doing? What's your name?" You know, and I told him. And when I told him my name, his face lit up. "You Prentice?" I said, "Yeah." So now I have to take it back. "I don't know you, but you know me." Because my buddy had told him that I was coming to church with him. And so he had told some of the people he already knows, so they knew I was coming. And what Jerome talked about when they welcome me in, you know, and they start conversating, they set me down. Later on, they set me down. And they broke the Bible open. I am in foreign territory now because nobody set me down and broke the Bible open and said, "Let's look at these scriptures."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Now, I'm gonna tell you these scriptures, and we're going to talk about them, but you got to go home and read this for yourself."
Amen. That's it. Yeah.
And so I am messed up now. I said, "Now they done told me to go read it for myself." Right? And that's the point where I started falling in love with God even more. Someone took the time to show me what was actually in there. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've tried to read the Bible for my own, but I'm not a student of reading that much. So you know how it is. You start, okay, that's too much for me. You close it up, you walk away, you go back to doing what you were doing. But they sat me down and said, "Look through this. Go over this. Look how this applies to your life." I was getting married. They said, "Well, I know you want to get married, but how about let's do some premarital counseling first? Let's sit down with the Bible and see what the Bible says about marriage before you, and what you as a man, as a husband, supposed to do. Do I get it right? Did everybody in there have it right? Not all the time. Just like nobody's perfect." But that's where I came from. That's where I'm at now. And nobody, even now, you know, nobody's perfect, but that's what drawed me in. That's what got me to where I'm at today. It's that love Jerome talked about. The love that met me at the door. Mm. And see, here's the thing. It didn't just meet me at the door and it didn't drop me. You know, sometimes you get that instant love. "Hey, how you doing, bro? Good to see you."
Yeah.
Then you look around. Well, where did they go? So things getting a little rough now. What all that love was when I came in the door?
Right.
You know. So if my check ain't big enough no more, what? But that just. But it didn't. It drawed me in, and I had people. Look, I had one of the gentlemen, and I know we need. I'm sorry. One of the gentlemen, wife had just had their third child, and a child like maybe 2-3 months old. He drove from Columbia to Prosperity, South Carolina, to sit down and study the Bible with me at 6 o'clock at night.
Mm.
Love by neighbor.
Yes, sir.
At 6 o'clock. Now he six, you know, we studied the Bible by 2 hours, and then he had to drive back to Columbia.
Mm.
But that's all I'm sharing now. But it's more going on. But that's just the love. It was there.
Amen.
Yeah. So, hey man, that's a good story, man. It's that time, man. We got a lot of people, man. That's we're gonna do the takeaways, but you please try to keep it brief if you can. If you got something you really need to share, you know, we're cool with that, but try to keep it brief. Jonathan.
Yes, I really tonight was good. I learned a lot tonight. But the main thing I learned was relationship with God is at heart with me. It's not the building, it's not the people, it's your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it might seem simple, but with me, I always used to think God wouldn't hear you unless you close your eyes and talk with him. No, mm-hmm. No, for me, when I sat in my car one day and I was in so much pain, thinking about so much, I just started talking to him like he was right next to me with my eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a lot changed for me. And that's when I knew, wow, it's really a relationship. Like, it might seem simple with that. You got to close your eyes. No. Yes, you do have to close your eyes. I understand that. But when you open your eyes, that means something. You sitting there talking to him next on your shoulder, right there next to you, like your best friend. And mm-hmm. that changed me a lot.
Yes.
Good so word. That's.
Good word, John. Good
it's
word.
The relationship for me.
Definitely. Good word, bro. Love you. Brother John. Love you,
Tim.
Awesome word tonight, Rick, finishing up what you started on last week. But I think with me, I realized before when I seen that, you know, God didn't like it. I think in this group, what I've come to realize, well, in this group is when I really realized that I was sinning against God, that when I was, you know, jumping outside of myself or cussing or whatever I was doing, he was right there with me. I was doing that and disappointing him. And like Jerome said, I think the verse tonight, Matthew 12:35-37 really, really hit me just reading over and everything and convicting me about a lot of stuff. And I just kind of need to get back in my word and get some of this stuff out.
Okay. Yeah. So my thing is, Rick, I want to thank you once again for the word on tonight. But my prayer, Lord, I just thank you, God, for the night and the love that's in all and the realness and the rawness of the people that are out there that's listening, that this is a place where you can come and really hear men pour their heart out, because what's in us, in our heart, is going to come out, and God is going to be able to use us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to use us to really do some powerful things. That all the men on these calls, we're just ordinary men. Now, hear this. We're just ordinary men, but with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do an extra and ordinary thing on tonight. And I just want to thank God for that. That's all I have.
Amen, brother. Amen. Brother Charles.
Hey, Sal. First, thank Mr. Rick. Hey, man, you did a great job. I get you in a mighty way. I reckon it's kind of hard when you see the truth and that truth hits the heart. And what hit me tonight the most was in Luke 24:25, old fools and slow of heart believe. That hit me hard, man. And I'm not saying that, it just made me look at myself.
Right.
Some things God has said through his word, but yet I'm so slow in heart to believe some of the things that he, that's what I'm God gonna have to help me to get past that. Said, I mean, it's for me to make me a better believer, to make me a more of a better person overall.
Amen. Good word, bro. Good word. Brother Robert.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to thank you for the word tonight. I enjoyed myself. I keep it short. Just to say that all the brothers on this panel, man, I love y'all. God bless you. There's nothing like a bunch of brothers getting together. As the Radden always said, he misses it. I miss it too. Iron does sharpen iron. And I thank each and every one of you for your points of views and for allowing the Lord to use you. Listen, I ate a full meal tonight. I'm going to relax my mouth. God bless you. Lord willing, I see you on next Tuesday.
All right. Amen. God bless you too, bro. God bless you. Brother Dakota.
Amen. God bless you. Can you hear me, brothers?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Once again, got so much out of it. Amen. There's so much to take from and so little time that I have there. But first of all, you know, like far as about the love in the church is concerned, first of all, lift no judgments on. So let's just tell the truth. We are comfortable with our own people.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line. We just comfortable with our own people. And that's why everything is so segregated on Sundays. We're going to even probably dive into some more on that, but time is short. But that's just the bottom line. But we all should be fellowship, and we should all love our brothers, no matter what
right.
and whatnot. But yes, people just go, just like Prentice said, he was looking for the back door. He wasn't used to that. He's used to seeing people that look like him in a church like that. We just comfortable, and all races, I believe, are comfortable with that. But like
I said,
as I'll be talking a little bit about on Bible study on tomorrow night, but first to Brother Jerome, thank you for that. But no, I'm not a pastor. I'm the assistant pastor. I'm just the elder in my church. I'm the assistant pastor. I'm not a pastor, though. I serve up under my pastor and whatnot, but God bless you, brother, and thank you. I know Elder Price, that he has pastored for a while and whatnot. I've learned so much from him over the years, and when we were together at the city before he up and left on me and retired and whatnot. But but other than that, brothers, like I say, we're comfortable, and we got to get, you was talking about that love, people just going to church just to be showing up and go home. And just like you said, if a church can hold 1,500 people on Sunday, but on Wednesday night, it might be 150 or 200 there for Bible study.
Right.
Sadly, that's just how it is. People don't love the Lord like that. They just want to come and hear a word and leave. There's no teaching. And that's why I believe we're in the mess that we're in now. Nobody wants to come to church on Wednesday or Tuesday night. If you're working, that's understandable. If you work a second shift, that's understandable. But too many people are sitting home on Wednesday night, ain't doing nothing but watching TV. That's a movie night when you should be in the house of the Lord. And I've been discussing a little bit of that. Where's the love for God for that? You should want to come to church and hear the word of God. Now you can ask those questions. You can raise your hand. You can ask the teacher something. Nobody wants to go to Sunday school. Churches that have two services, they'll have an 8 o'clock service, Bible Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:30, then 11 o'clock. But after the 8 o'clock service, people going home. They're not staying at 9:30. Mm-hmm. And those that come at 11 o'clock, it's not coming to the 9:30 Sunday school class. Sadly, so we got to try and we got to get into that. Go to Bible study, go to Sunday school. That's where you can get your learning from and so on and so forth. But man, there's so much to talk tonight. And before I get off, Elder Price, he needs to repent because he's wearing a shirt saying, "I'm not bossy." That's a lie. He is. that's a bold-faced lie. He needs to repent.
Amen.
This is my first time seeing him in several weeks, brothers. I have no idea what that is on his head, but you need to go see a barber quick, man.
Okay, man.
God bless you, brother. God bless you, every last one of you.
God bless you. God bless you. Brother Brennan, you got anything up?
Hey, man. Step of the Way Bible Discussion. I love each and every one of you. I love everybody's opinion and everybody's respected and bring it where you come from. Amen.
Amen. Love you too, bro. Brother Rick.
Believe it or not, Todd, I'm going to tell y'all something that you won't believe. You sent me a text yesterday asking me about what I was going to teach. I came home not fully prepared, closed my eyes, prayed for about 30 seconds, opened it, and opened the book, and this is what I came up with.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
I'm starting to walk more by faith than by sight now.
Amen.
As I see, when I do that, miraculous things happen.
Amen.
So I'm going to continue to do that, and I urge each and every one of you brothers to do the same. That's all I got.
Amen.
Good job. Brother Jerome.
Hey, guys, just thank you for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening, man. Let me pour out my heart to you guys. And
I love you.
I'm a better man because of you guys. So I can just say that, and I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Man.
Bro, love you, man. Real quick before I turn it over to Glenn and he take us home, man. You know, another great night. Great job, Rick. A lot of nuggets tonight, man. A lot of nuggets tonight, man. You know, thank you guys for sharing as always. Thank you guys for your commitment to this. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for inviting you guys, Prentice, man. Great group of guys, man. And Dirty Bird, you've been texting me, man. His phone been acting up. He got two funerals on the same day, so we're gonna keep him in prayers. And then
amen.
Somebody else close to him, one of his coaches, getting buried Saturday also.
Amen.
Found it out since he's been on the call. So amen. We definitely want to keep him lifted up if you can reach out to him during the week. Brother Glenn.
Amen.
Amen, brothers. Awesome night, Rick. I thank God for it. Like I said last week, my spirit just did not even sit still. I was still on fire even today with everything going on. And I've seen so many things happening in the streets this last week, man, where you wonder where was the love of God. And it was just something, man. And then God would show up somewhere and show you that, you know, he still got his eye on the
prize. Right, right.
And that's us. And I just bless him for, you know, and I had no problem surrendering this week because I needed it just as much as anybody else. And I bless God because he knew that I'm late because I had to work late, but then on my way home, I had to have a counseling session. And so I had to talk to somebody, and believe it or not, it was about what I walked right into when I got on this. And so, you know, I left a segment of talking about this to come to hear about this, about love and about,
amen,
you know, loving each other the way we should and being real about love. Because so many people, especially marriages, and I'm going to tell you married brothers, your marriage is going to suffer. And the reason it's going to suffer, and I don't want to say suffer, that's the wrong word, you're going to go through in your marriage. And the reason you are, because you got to understand, that's the very first thing Satan tried to destroy. Very first thing he tried to destroy. So if he can get you looking at your spouse in a way that contradicts what God says about her,
right,
he wins the game. We ain't about losing, so we ain't going to lose to him.
No.
Amen. And God's love and learning how to love like God is so important. Because once you learn to love like him, you learn how to forgive.
Right.
You learn, you'll never forget, but it won't be something.
Right.
And that's the thing that he's just trying to get us to see. This group means so much more to me. I mean, I was going to say, you know what? I got so much to do. I'm going to go in here, take a shower, and go to bed because I don't feel well. But y'all are too important to me.
Right.
The love I have for this group and how I've grown and on my own walk is I cannot give that away, and I won't give it away. All hearts and minds are clear. I don't know who this is for. Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not in thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I don't know who that's for, but that's who. It's been in my spirit for the last 15 minutes. I wanted to share it with somebody. I don't know what you're going through, but you trust God through it. He's going to fix it. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you. It's already fixed, brother. I don't know who you are, but that thing is fixed. Praise you can him. Let it go. Leave it at his doorstep.
Amen.
Leave it right there. It's not for you to fix. It was never intended for you to put your hands on, just for you to watch him work. Hallelujah. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for the opportunity to give your name all glory, honor, and praise. And Father, as we assemble here to talk about your love, God, we ask right now that you shine your love abroad on this group, Father, and everything and everyone connected to it. Father, continue, God, to use this group for the upbuilding of your kingdom. And God, not just here with one another, God, but sharing our love with brothers and sisters we meet on our journey every day. God, we can't do anything without you. So we ask right now by the Holy Spirit that you come inside of us. Clean out what needs to be kind of root up, what needs to be rooted out, God. And God, dear, you have full control. Take control, God. Lead, God, and direct us, God, on this path called life. And Father, when it's all said and done, Father, hold us in the palm of your hand as a precious jewel, God, an ornament that brings you pleasure. And God, we thank you, God, that you're moving in our lives, God, that you're straightening out things and continue to be with us on this journey. As we open up your word, open up our understanding, increase our knowledge, God. And God,
by your will, Father. Increase the favor toward us, Father, that we'll be able to share your word with our brothers and sisters. God, we thank you for everything you do. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
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 That was for me, Rick. That was for me, man.
Amen.
Definitely for me. Amen. Y'all have a good night.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed.
Y'all. Y'all have a blessed night, brother.
Y'all be blessed.
Y'all be blessed.
Amen.